And I was dancing at the back on that song, man. You ought to have been there. I was fired up. All right. They've let me preach. Amen. They've let me out of my cage. So I'm able to share some thoughts today. It's great to be able to talk to the church. I've been studying out the book of Proverbs, and hopefully together today we will just learn a few things from this incredible book. Before we actually start going through the book of Proverbs, I have a couple of questions, a quiz. I'll open this to everyone. Who knows what this means? Who can tell me? I know we all know, but somebody shout out what it means. This is a proverb, okay? Asher. Sorry? Better what? Better together. All right. Is that still true? Depends how many. Too many. Depends what they like. All right. So if you have too many cooks. All right. For the next one, if you are from the Afro or Caribbean origin, you cannot answer, okay? All right. Felician, you know what it means? Ben? Jack? Tony? Anybody know what it means? Nobody wants to face up. Nobody wants to own up, right? Bad thing never get owner, right? Getting a bit harder now. If a blackbird flies with a pigeon, he'll get shot. Anyone know? Okay, I'll open this up to all. Ben again? Is somebody passing this to Ben? Ben from the Caribbean, man. Come on, Ben. You are judged by the company you keep. Think about the company you keep, all right? All right, if you are from Africa, Nigeria, you can't answer this one, all right? Who knows them? Excluding Ben. Anybody know what this means? Any clues? Any Nigerians know what it means? Ian knows. Wow, yeah. Mind your own business, basically. If it's not got anything to do with you, I mean, the fish doesn't need to have a raincoat, basically, does it? Waiting consigned fish with a raincoat. Well done. Well, I'm very impressed. Certainly impressed with Ben and Ian, but hopefully with Proverbs, certainly if you can connect with them, they just are able to capture what could have been said in many words in a condensed form, hopefully that you can remember. We've got to always appreciate that the Bible, certainly the Old Testament times, very little was available in written form. So people had to remember things usually by if they're catchy, if they're musical, if they carry certain things to help us to remember. And hence the book of Proverbs is very relevant in this area. Today we'll be going through the book of Proverbs. I just had a couple of questions before I get into the book. Sometimes you read some Proverbs and you ask yourself, why are you telling us this? So for instance, The poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. Now, why do I need to know this? I mean, what does it tell me to get rich or to be poor or to get friends? What does it tell me? Why is it telling me? Or is it just some kind of fact? But if so, why? Why do I need to know it? A warning. A warning for what? Don't know. Proverbs 17:12. Better for a man to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his foolishness. Now, I must confess, when I visualize this scene of... I used to keep, when I was living in Nigeria, I used to keep chickens when I was younger. And this particularly fiery chicken laid eggs. They had about 7 chicks. And I think a couple of times I tried to pick up one of the chicks from the mother hen. Oh my goodness. I'm serious. I would flee because of the ferocity and the intensity of that. And there's this saying here that, I guess it's saying, recognize a foolish person and don't go near them. All right? Maybe that's what it's saying. All right, Proverbs 21, verse 9. Better to live on the corner of a roof than to share a house with a nagging wife. Why are the brothers shaking their heads? Okay, what's that telling me? What? Is that my wife speaking? Hey, maybe it's saying, be very careful who you marry. Be very careful. Sometimes we treat it very lightly, but it's saying, hey, you know, there's a similar verse says, better to live in the desert. It's better to live in the desert than to live in a home with a nagging wife, all right? I'm sure this applies to the women as men as well. This is, don't just get stuck on wife. It could be men as well, all right? Men, women, men can nag too, all right? But basically, choose your partner, your spouse, carefully, all right? Some of the questions we have when we read the book of Proverbs are things like this, I think. Is this always true? Is it generally true? Is it just a principle? Okay, the first one, Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Is this true? Someone says it's not true. Is it sometimes true? Why is it telling me this then? Who said it's not true? Terrible. But you read that and sometimes you think, well, I don't think that's actually always true. But there is a lesson there somewhere, all right? I'll leave that to you to figure out, all right? The next one, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. How do we view this verse? Always true. But now, why did you make the difference? Why did you say this is not always true, but that's always true? All right, what I'm doing, I'm questioning how you read the book of Proverbs, all right? This is a question, because you might take that literally, Proverbs 3, verse 5. I tend to take it literally. This is always true. Always trust in God. Always, if you submit to Him, He will make your path straight. Okay, the next one. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Is this always true? It not always true, sometimes true? Shouldn't we train our children? All right. The last one. Do not answer a fool according to his folly. Yeah, I see that. It says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Verse 5. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he'll be wise in his own eyes. Bible, tell me, what am I supposed to do, Bible? You might read that as a contradiction, but those who... I'll let you figure that one out a bit more. I'm sure you will. But this is the thing with Proverbs is you've got to read it a different way, okay? You can't read it like the prophetic books, the New Testament. You've got to be really careful how you read it. And on the other hand, it is, it's under the category of what we call wisdom literature. All right, wisdom literature. It shares points of view that are different to other books in the Bible, as we've said. You have to read it differently. It's an approach to life, a way of looking at the world, a way of living out in very deliberate, rational ways our commitment to God. And it answers some questions. But basically, if you do read the book of Proverbs, certainly chapters 1 to 9 are kind of set the scene for the book, but the rest of the book is dealing with practical situations. You know, as Christians, we often understand the big picture. Repent of sin, live a righteous life, do not gossip, amen, do not do this, and so on. And we understand the Bible. When it comes to daily living, the book of Proverbs, really, if you look at it carefully, it answers a lot of the practicals to do with our daily life and our daily walk with God. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1, we'll read that together, because this sets out the purpose of the book of Proverbs. In chapter 1, I'll read from this one. I hope it's the same. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, and sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Right from the start, this section of the book was written by Solomon. He just really lays out some of the purpose or the reason for this particular book. And he uses a lot of language linked to wisdom, knowledge, prudence. Just certain things. Prudence, just planning for the future. When you think of prudence, it's not just a financial thing. It's when you set certain standards in your home. Are you preparing for the future? Are you setting standards in your home that in 20 years' time you'll look back on and you'll be grateful and thankful that you had those standards? But it's been able to recognize those standards now. And that's very difficult for many of us. So it talks about giving wisdom, instruction, understanding of insight. But right towards the end there, it kind of gives a spiritual perspective. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Now, I just want to talk about this a little bit because when it comes to the book of Proverbs, it's tempting to read the book as just a lot of nice statements and commands and instructions that I need to follow. But clearly, have a look at this. Wisdom is the fruit of a right relationship with God. If you can really understand that the wisdom that we are seeking is not an academic or intellectual wisdom. It is not attained by extensive study. The Bible describes it is attained by a fear of God. If you want to be wise, get a fear of God. You know, the Bible talks about Solomon being the wisest man, or one of the wisest men in the Bible. But who was wiser than Solomon? Well, Jesus was wiser than Solomon. And it states that in the book of Matthew. It says Jesus was wiser, was greater than Solomon. Why? Simply because he was close to God. I mean, if we are trying to attain wisdom and knowledge by our own strength, we fail. If we do not have a healthy fear of God, we will fail. It will not last. All right? So the Bible describes here, I've just summarized what it's there for, the book of Proverbs, gaining wisdom, understanding, receiving instruction, learning to do what is right and fair. Often in our daily decisions, we just do not know what is right and fair, but the book of Proverbs will help us to make those kind of decisions. Our wisdom in daily decisions is linked to our relationship with God. How you walk through the day, those smaller day-by-day decisions that come up before you, are connected to your walk with God in terms of how you handle them. All right? In verse chapter 2, it actually describes how you will actually get that fear. I won't read the detail. You can glance at it on the screen. But it describes in a way how you might be able to receive that fear of God. I certainly know that, some of the things it describes is you've got to look for it. You've got to cry aloud. There's this sense, if you want to get the fear of God, cry aloud. Search for it. Go after it. Get that fear of God. Understand the fear of the Lord. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you do not have a fear of God, for whatever reason, I'm really sorry, but you will not gain wisdom. You may think, well, I have a lot of academic accolades. I've studied. I'm the brightest chap in my class. You have no wisdom. Sorry. I'm very sorry to break the news to you. I know for me, when I was studying the Bible to become a Christian, my family is very academic. My father was a professor, and we all grew up at university. We all studied extensively, very scientific, very analytical, trying to understand. I read some of the books my dad used to read. One was by Edward de Bono, a psychologist. I think he wrote a book called Poe, Beyond Yes and No. And I was trying to understand the gray lines between yes and no, and I try and understand all these things. And for me, when I studied the Bible to become a Christian, I found it extremely hard to realize that I'd gotten my life wrong. Really, I agonized over this thought that I've been living life a certain way without a fear of God, and I'd got it wrong. And you know, it took a month before I became a Christian, but it did take a while for me to just accept that I needed God in my life. That there is, in fact, let me jump to the next slide. There is this sense of, in terms of a healthy fear of the Lord. You can say it's linked to things like respect, reverence. I think acknowledging that we have been made. God made us. Sometimes we think we are independent, we're on our own. But you've been made by a creator. We do not live as if we are accountable to no one, but that we are accountable to God. One of the things that struck me, I think I was the age of about 12 years old. I remember suddenly... It's funny because it's kind of obvious when you get older, but it suddenly dawned on me that I would one day die. And you know when that realization suddenly starts to... Well, I don't know about for you, but for me, I slowly started to think, and you know, you recognize things, and you start to observe, and you think, hold on a second. You know, people are getting older around me, and maybe I will one day get older. And we do age, amen? And we will one day be accountable to God. I remember my daughter once, I think when we went to visit my dad, and my dad was quite old, getting old. And I think he was struggling to get around the house. And my daughter, I think she was probably about 4 or 5, she was observing him and thinking, wow, this is difficult. And just getting around. And then I think when we left, she turned to Sandra, my wife, and said, Mom, don't you ever get old. That's what she said. Mum, don't even think about it, Mum. Don't let the thought cross your mind. And yet the truth is, we all are accountable. We all will one day be facing God. When you try and imagine that, try and imagine that scene of standing before God and being held accountable. I'm saying this not to frighten you. I'm saying this is a reality, okay? The Bible says we will be judged. Okay, whether you're a Christian or not, you will be judged. Okay, praise God for Jesus, but we will be held accountable. God gives us free will, however, he calls us to recognize good and evil and to choose good. We have been called to follow him. God gives us a conscience as well to help us. But without a fear of God, pray to get a fear of God. Wrestle to get a fear of God. Get the respect, the reverence, stand in awe of God, as we're called to, as the Bible teaches. You know, Psalm 36, verse 1. I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. You know, one of the things that stopped me becoming a Christian was I didn't see the seriousness of my sin. I had sinned against many people. I had committed sexual immorality. I was deceitful. A whole range of sins. And in my mind, I had rationalized them away. The Bible says, you know, that there comes a point when if we cannot detect our sin. And this applies to us as Christians today. If you can't sit down and recognize where you have sinned, be fearful. Something's wrong. All right? Or you're perfect, or you're Jesus, or something. But we need to be a people who can recognize our sin See when we're our anger is ungodly. See when we are sexually immoral. Recognize our lust, and so on. And that is what we're called to do, not to flatter ourselves of these kind of things. The book itself, we'll jump onto some other things. The book itself talks about the dangers of sexual immorality, the importance of seeking advice. It talks a lot about the tongue, giving and receiving. In other words, what you say, what you hear. It talks about the tongue. It talks about the need to discipline and instruct our children. Proverbs talks quite a bit about that. The value of hard work. The book of Proverbs talks about hard work. All right. Talks about finances, wealth, the needy, taking care of those who are financially in need, poverty. It talks about honesty, integrity. It talks about family. It also talks about, you know, avoid evil company, choose your friends wisely. So it goes through a lot of practicals on even things like our friends. Who are we hanging? Who are we spending most time with? Who are we investing most time? Are we investing time with people who are helping us spiritually? Great. But think wisely about who you're investing time with. Proverbs 7, we'll look at the wisdom to save you first. Proverbs chapter 7, one of the most, I find, challenging verses on sexual immorality in the Bible. But Proverbs 7, it says in verse 6, at the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice, I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down to the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She's loud and defiant, her feet never stay at home, now in the street, now in the squares. At every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him. And with a brazen face she said, I have fellowship offerings at home today. I fulfilled my vows, so I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linings from Egypt, linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and alloys and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. What a heavy ending. Little knowing it will cost him his life. You know, brothers, if there's any part of you that is desiring a woman in an ungodly manner, think about this verse. This verse should help us. This verse should help us see the incredible folly. The funny thing about this verse, it describes a young man who lacks judgment. I don't think he meant to end up where he ended up. But it just describes a young man who, you know, clicked on the wrong web page, who started to have a conversation with somebody at work. And, you know, the reason why the Bible describes this verse in such strong terms is that I believe for most of us, this is how we wander down that path. For men and for women. I think, let me go back one. You know, warning, he did not know that he was going to cost him his life. This chap was going down the road. He didn't realize he was going to lose his life. Now, what does the Bible mean by lose his life? Well, he certainly didn't physically die. We know he didn't physically die. But from the rest of scriptures, we can understand, and from the rest of the book of Proverbs, is that he lost his soul. That come judgment before God, he would not be saved. He had given up his right or his path to salvation. You know, the call is to listen and pay attention. It says towards the end there in verse 24, now then, my sons, listen to me, pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. He says, pay attention, because the path this chap is going on leads to death. You know, women, it talks about, you know, stay close to your husband. Don't wander. Don't have eyes for anyone else. Don't wander down. You know, and further down it says, women, stay close to them. Don't wander. Men and women, don't look for love in the wrong place. You know what the problem was here? He just drifted into this, but sometimes we look for love in the wrong places. I know what it's like. You know, the reason why I read this verse and it connects with me is that I am that young man. I lived. If someone showed me this verse when I was studying the Bible, I did exactly what this guy did. I listened to persuasive. I don't think I was going out with the intention of committing sexual immorality with a woman who was married or was separated, should I say. I didn't have that intention. If I didn't think about that, I just thought of a conversation. The next minute it did move to a kiss. The next minute it moved to other things, and then it got to a point where I was the chap with the in the noose. I was having my heart pierced. You know, for many of us, we can relate just how we wandered down a path, or even maybe now are thinking of wandering down a path of sexual immorality. You say, well, I just looked at a picture on the internet. You're the chap. That is not just a picture on the internet. That is a journey to Sheol, to hell. That is a journey. You know, I just had a conversation with a lady at work and we're going out for a drink. Hey, be careful. You know, really, don't mess with this thing. This will get you. The Bible talks about, even in other books of Proverbs, many a mighty man have fallen. Many a mighty, some people you look at and think, even Solomon himself fell from this. You see, many men who you would think are stronger than me, they have fallen. You think, well, who am I then? But it says, listen, pay attention. My brothers, my friends, listen. Listen. Let's be open about these things. Let's flee from this kind of sin. Amen? I'm going to move on a little bit faster. But just a couple of things on wisdom and discipline instruction of children. We looked at this briefly earlier. But it talks about the importance of teaching kids. Certainly we need... Well, it says there, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Your child will not die if you punish them with a rod. But then again, it says teach a youth. So it says, really, parents, spend time teaching your kids. Don't just discipline them. You don't just discipline kids, right? You teach them so that they know exactly what the boundaries are and so on. The wisdom in getting advice. We all know about the call to seek advice. The book of Proverbs talks a lot about getting advice and the importance of seeking advice. I'll leave you those verses. Book of Proverbs talks about the tongue as well. And it talks so much about the tongue. In fact, in Ephesians 4, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. In Matthew 12:34, we'll just take a short break at this time. Over to Mike.
Unfortunately, at this time, we have run out of time in our service this morning, and so I've asked Andy if he will finish his sermon on Proverbs on another Sunday. There's too much good stuff in there for us to whiz through, and so we will hear Proverbs Part 2 at a later date. Obviously, our sister Marie will be praying for her. We have been praying for her these last few weeks and months anyway, and she's. It was encouraging even for her just to be with us for a short while. The great thing about being in the church is that if something does strike you medically, then we're surrounded by very competent and capable people. I counted just then, there were 4 doctors and 3 nurses seeing to her. And a pharmacist as well to boot, and so she's in good hands, and that's very encouraging. Just to remind you that that we are starting our spring campaign this week, entitled Set Apart. So the book is available at the back. I think there's a few hard copies left. You can get a digital copy to read on your iPad or even your phone if you've got good eyesight. And for this week, each week we have a focus and a reading plan as well. For this week, we're encouraging everyone to go ahead and read chapter 1 of the book. Also, we're encouraging us to have the focus of just sharing boldly how our lives have been set apart as Christians. And in terms of our outreach, just make a list of the friends that you know who you'd like to invite to church this and pray for them throughout the week. So and also each week we're going to have a focus in terms of a spiritual act of worship. And this week one of the things we're encouraging people to do is to take a look at your weekly spending and see if there's some way you can reduce it somehow this week and give that extra money to the poor or the needy. So let me encourage all of us to really be participating in this. It's a fantastic opportunity just to really just take a look at your spiritual walk and have an opportunity just to really make some changes in this spring campaign, just to really help you get a heart focused on loving the lost and loving God with all your heart. I do want to thank Andy. It was a fantastic, as far as it went, it was a fantastic message. I was kind of laughing when he shared the proverb, better belly bust than good food waste, because that's the proverb that I was always brought up with, and you could probably tell I'm having struggling to do up my jacket this morning, but I believe very strongly in not wasting food, and amen, it's good to have proverbs to live by, but better to live by the proverbs in the Bible than it is to live by the proverbs in life. Let's go ahead and pray at this time, and then we'll have our final song and close out our service. Father, I want to thank you so much that you are God and Lord of all. Father, that you've given us your word, your scriptures, Father, to give us guidance to know how to live our lives, Father, in the way that not only pleases you, but also is in our own best interest. Father, help us, God, to have hearts that are responsive to your word, and that we're really serious about applying those to our lives. We do pray at this time for our sister Marie. We pray, Father, that you'll strengthen her, you'll be with her. I pray, Father, that the brothers and sisters who are even right now attending to her needs will be able to help her and assist her in a great way. Father, thank you so much, Father, that we have an opportunity to start this campaign together, and that all over London that we're going to be reading this book together, and we're going to be just really putting into practice some things that are going to help us spiritually. I pray, Father, we can all get on board, and I pray, Lord, that even this week we can look at ways that we can save some money to give extra to the poor and to the needy. Thank you so much, Father, for the way that you do provide for all our needs, and I really pray, Father, that you'll help us to live lives of gratitude and appreciation for all that you continue to do for us. We pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go ahead and have the song leaders come up to the front, and we'll close our service with one final song.